on, and please stay tuned for Imam Murad Muhammad.
Musa?
Okay, Brother Imam, you're on now.
All right, brothers and sisters, we have a little difficulties, and I need to get the other people on the phone. If you just bear with me, these things happen. Once again, one day we'll be able to know this technology and we won't have this kind of problem. But it is a slight problem that's been given to us for the last 2 days, and we've been around for 7 years. We always have some kind of a problem. It's never perfect. However, you have to be able to have patience, and you have to deal with something that you do not own. And that's the way it goes in the real world. Let's see if we can get this connection. We may not, but we may will. But you at Blog Talk Radio, New Africa Excellent, is very important to me. And if, in fact, I cannot get the connection, I will continue. You are loyal to me, and I have to be loyal to you. This is something new that was added, and we had it going very well. For some reason, there's a major interruption. But again, these things happen in life to deal with it. Allah says first come difficulties and then. I am in. Assalamu alaikum. Brothers and sisters, once again, we had a little difficulty, but I had to call my technology expert, and Musa, you bailed me out again. We'll get this one day, God willing, to be able to understand that we at Blog Talk Radio, New Africa Excellent Enterprise, without speaks, we will try to not allow this to happen. This is a great thing. I have so many very different people tonight to be able to ask questions, and it really pleases me that you all take time out of your busy schedule, because it is a busy schedule. But my topic is communication. You will not have tea without communication. Communication is everything. And when you have these sisters and brothers questioning me, it opens up the minds of the people. And likewise with myself, I have to think, because the questions come very hard. They're very difficult, but I have to say, subhanAllah, if I make a mistake, and I say alhamdulillah, when I feel that Allah has given me the answer. And thus far, I would be able to answer your questions, and I think I do a very good job because I always check. You know, I have a brother that's on the phone that's been with me for years as Elijah Bay, and you can hear him on Wednesdays and Thursdays at 7 o'clock, and you will see we have a lot in common. We are students of Imam Wallahuddin Muhammad, and we take pride in doing so. But we come through the first experience, I as a private soldier, and he as a lieutenant. And his brother was a man that couldn't make it and couldn't sell the papers, and we called him the cleanup man, the cleanup detail. And he had got them brothers to know and learn how to go out and do for himself. And he said to me, he said, you know, you always come to one of us and ask us if you do the right thing. The question is, would you change it if you thought you did anything wrong? And I said to him, what do you think I come to you for? I always want to know, am I right or am I wrong? He said, don't ever lose that. And then, of course, a month later, he passed away. So I will never forget that. That's something that he instilled in me. And so when I ask you all, I'll call and I'll ask my sisters, how do you think the show went? I'll ask my friends, I'll ask my brothers, my nephews. I say, how'd the show go? And when they give me accolades, I say, I'm the law. Now, people may think, because I'm the greatest promoter of all times and known in every newspaper in this country and known in 200 foreign countries, why would I be so humble? Because Allah will not give you any more when you think you're so big-headed that you're bigger than everybody else. But you cannot forget where you come from. And I came from what they call poverty. Came from that you couldn't eat every day. You only ate on Sunday. But did I love my mother? Yes, I did. Did I love my neighbors? Yes, I did. If I had to do it all over again, I'd have grew up that way. This is why my head doesn't swell, and this is why I don't think I'm better than anybody. But if I got a gift, whatever that gift may be, you share it. And knowledge is a gift. And you can share it if you choose to study, if you choose to take time out of your busy schedule. And I did just that. I remember when I was first asked to do Jummah in the Queens with Imam Ramadan, I said, no, I'm not doing Jummah. He said, why not? I said, I don't do Jummah. He said, brother, I need you to do Jummah. He came to Elio three times. Elio came to me and said, if you got something my family needs to know, I appreciate it that you would give it to them. He got me. And so I did Jummah. Then I asked Fitchett Muhammad, who does the show on Sundays and any other day, but she has done so well in putting her show together with sometimes all sisters and sometimes sisters and brothers. And she said, why you say you never did Jummah? I said, I don't do Jummah. She said, we in Venezuela, we did Jummah. When you was in Korea, we did Jummah. When you was in England, we did Jummah. All over the world, all over the country, you was the one that led the prayer. I said, you know what? You're right. So see how the female will bring your attention back to reality? And I said, isn't that something? I never looked at myself as being an imam over top of anybody. Until I decided to follow Imam Willis D. Muhammad Tashir, and he came and taught me personally. And so he told me the first thing you learn is how to be humble. And when you're humble, Allah will give you more. If you're arrogant, Allah will take it away from you. So I want to thank you all. And here on Blog Talk Radio, New Africa, Excellent Enterprise, Malai Speaks. And we come to you 7 days a week, 52 weeks out of the year. And we try our best to be consistent. Consistent in doing what? Consistent in helping those that need help, those who can't do a lot of things, we're here to share with you. And if something you think you need to know and I don't have the answer for it, then what do? I go find it. And then I come back and give it to you. Muhammad the Prophet, prayers, peace upon him, and we thank Allah for giving us a mercy to all humanity. A lot of things he didn't know. He didn't, brother, sister. He did not know it. But what did he do? He waited till Allah gave it to him. And then when Allah gave it to him, he gave it to us. And that's what made him the seal of the prophet. He no more is coming, that's it. And if you're looking for someone else, well, that's something we're going to think about. So I'm going to get right to it. And I want to start off with our sisters, because I started off with our brothers. And it's okay that I start off with the brother. Because woman means mind, womb. That's what it's called, a womb. And because in Al-Islam, you have to find out, they won't tell you this, but in Al-Islam, the female has the right to make a decision. She has the right to correct you if you pronounce the Quran wrong. She can say subhanAllah. She can say it from the bathroom, but not during Jummah. Jummah, you can't speak. You have to get him when he finished. But if, in fact, he's up doing Talim or he's reading the Quran and he makes mistakes, because that's why we say subhanAllah, because Allah is the best known. So the female has that right. She is equal as we are in our mind, in our soul, in our nature, in our spirit. But what makes us over top of her is our masculine. That's it. We the ones that fight. We the one that protect. We the one that goes out into the world. Now, you got exception to the rule. A lot shows you that there's women that went out and fought, but that's not the majority. That's the exception to the rule. But let a monster come to kill the baby. The fighter is fighting that monster. That man is fighting. Your husband is fighting. But guess what? He gets killed. All of a sudden, here comes the masculine out of that female. She will kill that animal. She will kill that whoever it may be. You're not going to touch her baby. You see the difference? And she don't have to her other side, her masculine side, unless we leave her home alone. Because Allah says in the Quran, the absence of the husband is the female. Alhamdulillah. So, Salima, I'm going to call on you if you're there. And the reason for that, my God, you call me. It's just amazing how you read that Quran, you study the Quran, you don't put it down, and you look like it's something you always wanted to do. Here on Blog Talk Radio, New Africa, an excellent enterprise where I speak, I give my female the opportunity to talk to the world. That's what you're supposed to do, because we don't do all the talking. If it wasn't for you all talking to us when we came out of that womb, I don't think we would have love and affection and sensitivity and understanding, because y'all taught us well. And that's why we call you Al-Rahman, man. Y'all the first mercy that God gave to us. Alhamdulillah. Are you there, Salima?
Yes, sir. Assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum salam, beautiful. How are you?
Wonderful. All praise is due to Allah.
Hello, Akbar. Yes. What's your two questions?
First question, Salat, obligatory prayers. I was once in the presence of an imam and another community member. The imam told the brothers his prayers will only be accepted by Allah if he only recited in Arabic, not English. Another brother spoke up and stated to the imam not to make such a statement to the brother as he was a new Muslim. Question, must prayers be in Arabic in order to be accepted by Allah?
Well, Bismillah, that is a very beautiful question, and it can confuse a whole lot of people. But the Chinese did not know the Quran Arabic. There's two types of Arabic. And if you say Arabic, God's language. So we say the Quran Arabic, so everybody don't think that there's three different languages. But the Arabs is their language and is very close to Allah's language. Why? Because they was one of the most unintelligent people on the face of the planet. And they was burying little girls and practicing idol gods. So Allah had to bring one amongst them to teach them. But all of us that can now read the Quran in the language of God, we were speaking English. But you couldn't have spoken in God's language because you didn't know it just like the prophet didn't know. So what language did the prophet speak in it? Because he was Arabic. So he had to be taught how to read the Quran. And it was in moderation, 23 years. He read the surahs to the writers and the scholars and those who can remember. However, what about our Chinese? Do you think when they learned the Quran, they spoke in Arabic? Well, they are Arabic speakers. How about the Quran Arabic? Well, they're being taught. They're in kindergarten in their mind. What about the Italians? What about the Irishmen? but about all the 200 and some odd language in Africa. So what I'm saying to you, you have to read it in the language in which you read. That's why you can see it down there. They wrote it so they can be able to read their own language. Everybody can read English. I'm quite sure the Quran went out in their language too. The scholars sent it out in their language. But once you begin to repeat constantly, then someone is teaching you, all of a sudden now, all of a sudden you're reading the Arabic language in the Quran. However, Allah says he hears all his appeal, meaning every human being, every animal, anything that can speak, Allah can hear you. So there's no such thing, you have to read it. There's no compulsory in Islam, because if it was, then it's saying that Islam is begging you. Allah is so merciful. Why Satan, that jinn that's in all of us, why he disturbs us, Iblis, believes we got too much power. None of the creatures can get out of their habitat. They submit totally to the will of God. You're a dog, you're a dog. You're not trying to be like a pig. A pig is not trying to be like a dog. A bird is not trying to be a cat. A cat is not trying to be a rat. It's us who have the ability to be a cat, a pig, a dog, a horse, whatever you choose. Everything in creation is in you. Now, you may say to me, whoa, bro, how can I be a pig? Oh, your mama come here and say, you eat too much. You eat like a pig. And the pig is saying, why you call him my name? And don't rat on somebody. And say, you know, that brother over there, he's a rat. And don't act like a dog. You just dog someone out. Well, in fact, they start saying, hey, dog. So we can be called anything we choose to call anybody. More important, you have a right to not to accept God. That's why Satan hates us. You give them that much power, Lord? Oh, y'all don't think Satan serves Allah? No, he thinks he's doing the right thing to prove that we are not humble and thankful that he gave us the right to make a decision. The angels are created perfect, but we're a little above the angels. Why? Because they got a job. They can't do nothing. Well, why are they so highly intelligent? Well, wait a minute. What is your name, angel? Oh, Lord, we only know what you teach us. Turn to Adam. Adam just come in. He breathed his spirit into that dead earth, and it came alive. Wow. And it could talk. Tell them their names, Adam. And all the angels bowed but Iblis. Iblis said, I don't care. That's too much power coming from mud, dirt, and clay, and dust. So he figured that he's going to prove that he can change it. So your answer is, no, it's not compulsory to read it in the Arabic. If you read it in your language, what nationality you may be, Allah hears your heart, not your words, your heart, not your words, your good intentions. That's how he judges. What's your next question? Thank you.
Yes, sir. Thank you. Usury. Explain what usury means in Al-Islam, and is the stock market an option of investment for Muslims?
Well, they used to say we have a scale. And we thought the scales was the physical scale. In other words, a guy tell you, okay, this weighs 50 pounds and only weighs 20. That's usury. If you take someone unintelligent and you get him to do what you know you wouldn't do, that's usury. But Allah says we have five senses. And our five senses is so powerful. Let me show you how powerful it is. When Jesus went to the river, he saw a woman there. And he said, when he saw the woman, He had five husbands. Keep in mind, that's what the Bible says, five husbands. That's the word to you. Now, I don't want any of you females to misconstrue what I'm saying, but what is those five husbands? Because when she took on the sixth husband, she was out of her mind. But all Jesus was saying, when you was in your five senses, he called it husband, meaning you should marry your five senses like that's your husband. Make love to it. Consistently show it love. Because that's a gift in the womb of your mother. Now, yes, you get your associate, your bachelor, your master, your PhD, your, but that's man. Man has flaws. He's not perfect. But them five senses given to you in the womb of your mother, the will of God. And you have to balance everything on that five senses. Now, Muhammad, the prophet, prayer, speech, palm, says it a different way. But it both means the same. He says, bathe yourself in the river five times. And our Christian brothers took it literally. They baptize you, put you in the river five times. You can bathe yourself 100 times in the river. You filthy as hell. So the water ain't going to clean you and you filthy. You filthy in your soul. You filthy in your mind. But what is the purpose of bathing yourself five times in the river? What Prophet Muhammad explains it. If you bathe yourself five times in a river, you will come pure. Now, how could that be? When they bathe themselves, all this baptism, they're not clean. They still go out and smoke. They still go out and fornicate. They do a whole lot of things. They drink liquor. However, the prophet is saying, bathe yourself in the river because the river runs truly. It doesn't stop. It's consistent. It's repetition. It doesn't back up. So if you bathe yourself in your five senses like a river flow, you'll never forget your five senses. Man, make it where you can at least see it. But it's not. You have to dig a little deeper. You dingle with the understanding, but you don't connect the dots. So when you connect the dots, you understand. You understand that you are not going to deceive no one, trick no one, con nobody. So Allah says, treat your brother like you would like to be treated. So I'm not going to tell you not to do something I wouldn't do. I want to have the best, so I'm going to give you the best. And some just and say, tell them this. We have slaves. They say, I hear all Muslims put them in slavery. Yes, they did. But they took the word slave from Allah, because the real word, we are slaves to Allah. But because they used that word slave and broke it up and just tore it up, nobody wants to be a slave today. So the Quran said, you are servant to Allah. So the question was asked by the prophet. He said, why do you call him a slave? He said, well, he prays my bars, he do my shoes, he irons my clothes, he do such stuff. He said, yes, but do you feed him the way you eat? He said, no. He said, do you clothe him the way you are clothed? He said, no. Do he sit at your table when you got dignitaries there? He said, no. He said, I got to do all that? I might as well let him free. And that's what Paul was trying to tell him. Free him. Free him from being a slave. Make him your servant. But you treat him like you want to be treated. Thank you. Those are two powerful questions, my sister. And I think we at least can shed some light on things like this. I have a sister, and this sister is from Philadelphia, but she's a developer. Yes, our sister is a developer. And our sister built some beautiful homes. and I call her the wonderful world of a woman. A woman. Habiba. Adi Ali.
Assalamu alaikum. Yes, I'm here. So I'm here, my brother. Assalamu alaikum. Peace and blessings to your non-Muslim listeners.
Yes. I'm quite sure.
Yes, my dear brother. How may I be a servant?
Just give me your two questions and then see if I can answer them for you.
Well, yes, sir. I wanted to elaborate a little further on a conversation that I heard that was on your show last night, and it's about the prophet Jesus, peace be upon him, Isa.
Yeah. Okay.
And one was about his birth, and the other is about his departure. I wouldn't want to say his death because interact in this conversation as we're talking about communication. The birth of Christ, if you can elaborate on that as well as his departure from the earth.
Yes. Jesus was brought into this world without the aid of a man. They call it natural circle. Conception. But when we use that phrase that this is such a massive conception, we don't think back when we was mud and dirt and clay, because that's what he sent his angel Jabir down to get, earth. And when he molded and shaped that dead earth, because it was dead, whenever it went through the mouth of that statue, because it was hollow clay, and he came out the other way, he said, what is Allah going to do with this hollow clay? And the angel said, we don't know. So when he finally got the opportunity to talk to Allah, he says, what are you creating? Now, the Bible says, I'm going to create we. He said, we going to create a man in the world, but the Quran don't say we. It's I. But he didn't use the name man. He used the word, I'm going to make a khalifa in the earth. But if you say khalifa to most people, they don't even know what you're talking about. But you, in Islam, know what a khalifa is. And he says to Allah, oh, Lord, why would you create more bloodshed? Oh, more bloodshed. So that means there was some blood being shed before we came about on this earth. So he said, why would you create more bloodshed? And Allah said, I know what you know not. So he breathed his spirit. And that's why we're able to talk. That's why we're able to walk. That's why we're able to get on a bus or a plane. You can't move without your spirit. Your spirit leaves you, you're dead again, dead earth. And you put that in the ground where it came from, and the insects eat it up and orientate it back into the earth and where it comes from. So that earth, is that a maximum conception? Because here come Adam and Eve from one soul. So if Allah can do that, he is a human earth. Called Mary and called him our virgin Mary. And if you look deep into Mary's life, you'll find out Mary had children. So it couldn't have been a virgin as we see it, as a womb, a physical womb. But we needed, Allah needed this child to be born in that womb, but he needed Mary to be pure. Hearing her understanding, because he didn't really raise one up to do a job. So Allah brought Jesus through that womb, because he said, I don't want to have a child, I don't have a man. That's what she really was saying. Well, I said, being it is. And some people say he only had it for 6 months, some say he had it for 6 weeks, some say 6 days. But those sixes, I'll be on for another hour to tell you what all that means. Nevertheless, Mary's uncle going to feed her. She said, I'm fasting. He came back again. Pastor Watson, he came back again and again. But it wasn't physical food. She wasn't fasting for physical food. She was being taught by Allah. Because this child has to come out and do a job. So if you read, it says, Allah created him to take down the fig tree, to cut the fig tree down. That's because there was a religion that was created named Judaism. And that religion is a good religion. So Allah says, I didn't allow you to have knowledge of me and have knowledge of the world, and you rule and don't give it back. Allah frowns upon that. So Jesus was created not to take down Jerusalem, to stop the Jews from multiplying. So Jesus said, I am of the work of my Father. Now that's what the Bible says. I am the work of my Lord. But they call Lord Father. It's okay. That's them. They don't read like we read. God gives it to them because they know what they're trying to say in their heart. So I'm the work of my Father. So his job was to seduce from multiplying. That's the fig tree. He could have said apple tree. Could have said a pear tree. But they don't have a lot of seeds like the fig. So you see how the writers write so you can think. You can connect the dot. You might not get it today. You probably get it tomorrow. But nothing is physical with God. Allah doesn't use man's material substance. So that's man giving you that clue. Allah only judges matter. You can't see matter, but you can study matter. And once you study matter, you've got the connection with God. Now, Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala, glorifies his name. He allowed Jesus to stop them from multiplying. Today, they're in the slow lane. Christianity is in the middle lane. Islam is in the fast lane, moving so fast, people are coming to Islam. They won't tell us that. It was in the times at one time about 10 years ago. Now, Jesus did his job. When he did his job, he said, I am of you and you are of me, meaning your nature is the same as mine. Don't think that I'm a human being just like you. He said, but I'm going to leave you a gift when I leave. He said, and that gift is my mother. Mary. He's going to leave you Virgin Mary, and I'm going to return. Now, the reason, if you study the Quran, I told you nothing is physical, then what did Jesus mean that he's going to leave his mother? Viva, you are
yes, sir.
Mary. Every female is Mary. The mother he was talking about is you all. Because through that wound, another Jesus is going to appear. Not a Jesus in the flesh, because once the flesh is gone, Allah don't return it. He don't need no dead earth anymore. It means that your spirit, your soul, your intellect, your taqwa will be like Jesus. And you will appear again. That's why he says, I shall return to who? My mother. Meaning you all are the mother. The virgin is not, I tell a brother all the time, he says, well, I'm marrying this sister, but she's not a virgin. I said, what is it? She's a widow. And she's been married that man for 30, 40 years. I said, that's not what God's talking about. It got nothing to do with between her legs. Has nothing to do below her belly. He's talking about the internal organs of that female. You never touched it. She's a virgin to you. Allah makes everything new. No such thing that she ain't pure. So we get hung up on the physical because why? That man is handsome. Ah, he got muscles. he's strong, so you fall in love with that, and vice versa. You got long, beautiful, gorgeous hair, shaped like a, we used to say, Pepsi Cola bottle. So you fall in love with that. Here we go again, the physical. But once he or he is gone, you don't know that person. That's why you're crying. That's why you wish he was still here. But if you had known the soul of that individual, you will realize that I know his heart. I know his spirit. I know his taqwa. I know his being a fitra. He reverted back to that. So I will never forgive him. His spirit lives with me. That's what Allah is talking about. Because it doesn't die. It evolves. That earth that you're over top of, that you look in the mirror, that's your real estate. You must take care of that real estate. Nobody else. But once that spirit is gone, that whole entire body is gone. So it got to go back where it come from. What's your next question? What was that?
Yes, sir. If you could, yes, sir. I want to thank you for your information and response. And I would like to speak on the physical departure of Christ from the earth and his return, inshallah.
The physical is coming out. That was Allah saying to man, I don't need you, man. I create the heavens and the earth, everything in between. I need nothing from my creation. So Allah said, you don't need nothing for us. So the coming of Jesus was all the prophets. And Jesus said, one will come after me. He's talking about Muhammad the prophet. And it says Jesus and Muhammad will be together. Now, there's a man walking around right now. A lot of people didn't know what he was talking about. He calls himself Jesus. His name is Minister Louis Farrakhan. I said, y'all misconstrue. Y'all think he's talking about the physical Jesus. And he told his followers on national TV, if you ever do what the Christians do and think that I am the Jesus that walked on this earth, you're mistaken. Don't you make me bigger than you. I'm a human being just like you. But Allah has blessed me to think like Jesus. So Jesus left and said, one will come after me. And who was that? The seal of the prophet. And it said that they will return, because why? They complement each other. Jesus came before Muhammad. Muhammad was Jesus, Abraham, Lot, Noah, all of them had to build that. It's like a cake. When you put the eggs and the sugar, when you put the yeast and you put the butter, when you put all that into your cake and you put it in the oven, when it comes out and you put some icing on it, when you eat it, you say, oh, this sugar sure tastes good. You don't say that. This butter sure tastes good. You don't say that. These eggs sure not just taste real good. No, you say cake, because why? The cake is done. All the ingredients are in the cake. And without those ingredients, it couldn't be a cake. Just miss one of those ingredients. Miss the sugar and see what you got, a bitter cake. So all the prophets was created. So Muhammad the prophet will be the seal of all of them. So he had to build that khalifa. That khalifa was built. Now Allah took years, years, and years to come to the khalifa, which he called the perfect example. Now, what makes them perfect in Jesus? Because he made a mistake. Moses made a mistake. Lot made a mistake. What makes these prophets different than Jesus? Because Jesus is the only prophet. He's the messenger of God. Allah has no prophet. He was the messenger of God. He's a prophet to us, so he prophesied. But what makes him perfect? Since no man is perfect. Because it was Muhammad the prophet that gave us the Quran. Verbally, I gave it to him. And he read every every word that God says. That's what makes them perfect. That's what makes them perfect. When you're reading the Quran, you're in your right state. If you really have it in your heart. You now just like the prophet when you're reading the Quran. But once you're not reading the Quran, you just hear what is in it by him. So when you read the words of God, there's no flaw. There's no doubt in this book. So Jesus, for 23 years, after living on the earth, probably, Prophet Muhammad, he walked his earth for 40 years and never got out of his nature or God's thing. You didn't need religion to be in your nature. Allah gave you religion because you messed up on Judaism. Then you messed up on Christianity. And Allah said, that's it. I'm going to create a religion for you all. And I prefer you to accept as Islam, but not compulsory. But God says in the Quran, oh, you Jews, Christians, and Sabbath, just believe in one God in the hereafter. More of my Christians believe in one God. My mama grew up believing in one God in the hereafter. So he's not leaving them behind. But because you want to go to a Fiji Institute, 500 years that graduate. You don't want to be on the 500. You want to be in the first 5, first 10. How about the first 100? You don't want to be way up there. So it gets talked up, as I say to my Christians. Jesus said it. His name is Christ. Christ means Muslim. So Jesus Christ is a Muslim in his nature. There was no religion that he ever accepted. Christianity came out, and that's why they said they killed Jesus, because his money. They had to use somebody, and it worked, because we just don't know that white Jesus. That's our real COVID-19. It supersedes that. We are still thinking that the white man is God, the white man is the angel, everything white and right. And then black get that. So they put that in us. That's the real disease. And most of them got that right now hanging on their walls and hanging in their churches. They want you to think that that white man is that powerful. And Allah said he killed them not. How could he kill the messenger of God? Man can't do that. So there was no more coming. They tried to kill Muhammad the Prophet, but he couldn't do it. He had to flee to get away, so he came back and won the war. And today he's known all over the world. He's more greater today, and he ain't even here. This is how Allah magnifies us. So we have to put it in perspective. You said something to my family out there. There's no harm, but you said it. And I want to tell you how all my Jews and Christians feel. If they can speak right now, all 1 million plus, they would say, no, my beautiful sister, we ain't non-Muslim. We just not love your religion. And religion got nothing to do with the nature. We are Muslims. That's what my Christians say, because I taught them for 7 years. These imams don't teach this. It sounds very highly unintelligent to call someone not a Muslim. A dog is a Muslim. A pig is a Muslim. It does what God created them to do. And they don't get out of there. They don't get out of their mold that God put them in. Only us. We stoop down in our flesh. That's what it's called. The flesh. Down in animal kingdom. But guess what? When you stand up, and you're standing up on the Salat al-Mustaqim, don't you know no dog, no animal? The angel is a creature. The jinn is a creature. You are a creature. But you got something over all, everything on the planet. You're a human being. They can't come up to that level. It cannot be human. You are human. So Allah says everything in creation is in us. That's why we can be them. It's in us. But you have a responsibility. You don't have a job. You can make that decision. I'm going to make 5 prayers a day. No, I'm going to make 2. Hey, you got a right to make that decision. I'm not going to be a woman. I'm going to be a man. You got a right to make that decision. I'm going to kill this man because I'm a killer. You got a right to make that decision. But it's called temporary heaven for permanent hell. So Jesus died a natural death. And he dies just like you died. And the spirit is out of you. It's time for you now to go to the next world. In that world, people say, oh, from Allah we came and Allah we returned. Well, where return you going to go? Let me tell you where you're going. You're out of your dream, out of picture. But when you pass, that spirit brings you back to where you were created in the dream, that picture. And that's where you go. Now, I can't tell you about the hereafter, but we believe in it. And I hear Imam Muhammad say, there is no hereafter because we all believe it. He will create it for us, how merciful God is. So no one came back and told us. We just have faith and we believe it's a hereafter. I thank you for those questions, and you come on my ear anytime because I told you I know your mind. You're sharp. You to do what you do, men can't do. You take people off the streets. You make sure people are home. And brother says, I'm not as famous because you see on the phone. But she developed her home for these people. You got to say, just looking at the home, wow. And they different. They different. Her creativity is not of this society. She, if you come in her neighborhood where she built, you say, that's going to be a giver. Because no one built houses like that. I'm going to go to the next drummer because I understand the sisters and the sisters very well. But we do have a guest. She came on yesterday. I believe she's on today. If not, my nephew would tell me we have a sister from Canada. Is she there? Kareem, are you there, Kareem?
Yeah. She's on the other one. She's listening.
Okay, tell us you can give me our 2 questions. This is all the way in Canada. We moved.
She's not on the one that can talk. Just to listen.
Okay. Hey, what's your 2 questions?
I just have 1 question.
Tell
if a child dies in the mother's womb or stillbirth, goes straight to paradise. But if a child dies, it's 1 or 2, it goes straight to paradise?
That's a very good question, an excellent question. But let's deal with the womb. Most parents cry because they lost their baby in the womb. And sometimes it goes around their neck and they stop in the womb. But it never came into this world. So it goes straight to paradise. Allah is saying, this one is too good to have to go through the hell we going through in this world. So he removes it. You don't have to wash it down. You don't have to pray over it. All you got to do is put it in the ground. That's why it's earth. And that baby went to paradise. Whatever you name it, whatever you saw it when you put it in the ground, that and a child that comes into the world, what makes that child different? It's not alive in the womb. It lives off the mother. So the baby is like dead, but it lives off the heart, the breathing, the food, everything the mother do for the child that's in the womb. But now it's time for you to get out of that. So you got to stick your head down. That child's very intelligent because it got 5 senses. And you got to put your head outside of that womb. And when you come outside that womb, they spank you on your butt because you have to breathe in the spirit. You have to breathe in the spirit in order to live. So you can die knowing that you still birth. There's no air coming in, no spirit, so it can't live. The body can't live. this child comes out, and this child comes out educated. You say, well, what makes them educated? Because they know it's time for them to eat. And they go right to the nipple. If you ever know anything about the woman's breast, the milk just don't come out. You got to work for that. And that baby will suck on and suck on, and here comes the milk. And the baby will stop when it's hungry. Now it's not hungry anymore. They don't want nothing. So the mothers today will force their child to eat. You got to eat all this, boy. And they're mushing you away because they can't get your language. They only speak God's language. Every child behind the wall, you don't know who is an African-American, who is a Latino, who is Asian. You don't know why. They all speak God's language. You don't know who's behind the wall unless you see that person. So they only speak God's language. They cry when they want to be changed because they were clean in the womb. They don't want defecation or urine on them. When they're hungry, they'll throw that bottle out because they tell you, stop feeding me, I'm full. Baby is very intelligent. It can sneeze. It can cough. It can blink its eyes. It can turn their head. You didn't teach them that. That was given to them in the womb. So the baby is highly intelligent, but it's innocent at one, innocent at three, four, five. That's an innocent child. So, yes, it goes right to heaven. Because why? It has not lived in the world. All it has done is live around mama so she can instill in him at a rock man. That's the first mercy. The first mercy is your mama. If you don't get that first mercy, there's something wrong with you. That's why we love our mothers. Boy, do we love them. Muhammad the Prophet said he sat on the Christmas ass. Who's the most important person in your life? My mama. The second one, my mama. The third one, my mama. The fourth one, my father. Father's important. But don't come before mama. Father has nothing to do with raising that child. So we might spank it too masculine. We might hurt it. That mother knows just how to spank her baby. So we don't do nothing. The child gonna want things to come. Daddy, can you hear what your mother said? She's the ruler. She's the lord of the home. We don't tell her what to do at home. But she's a gift to us. But we don't understand that. That's why these imams can't make it today. Because they sit on a shore board thinking that they don't need the female. Well, let's go see the history. Saudi Arabia don't have women. Go to Iraq, they don't have women. Go to all them brothers that got all that oil, they catching hell right now because why? They left that woman behind. Now, how do we come in here with her? But yet, said, I'm going to make for it. Of me. We the mate. We carry the X chromosome, the Y chromosome. We got the male, the female. But you can produce nothing if you don't put it in that earth. And it goes in the triple darkness. It's like you putting a plant. You're trying to grow a plant. Matter of fact, if you study the plant, you'll find out the plant got a lot of us in it. All this is to teach us. The unseen is to teach us who we are. The crown of creation. That's why God put our Father Jesus over top of the garden. Now, he didn't curse the world. He slipped. We all slipped. We all sinned. Allah said, I'll remove a group of people from this earth if they don't commit a sin. So we commit sin. But what makes me different than you? Do I sin? Yes, I sin. But what makes me different? I go beg Allah for forgiveness.
Henrietta.
That's all Allah asks you. Allah asks you, beg for forgiveness if you did something wrong, and he will wash your sins from you. Alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah. So, no, brother. Yes, he or she goes to paradise in the womb, and if they're not of this world growing up as a youth, Allah allows them to go to the world. But once you take on that manhood, that female, now your record, your portfolio is being written by an angel on the left side. Now that one could take you to hell. But anything you think of you doing in the dark comes to the light on the final day of judgment. You better pray it comes to the light while you're living. Because because you can beg God to erase that. Or you can say, oh, Lord, I sinned, but forgive me, Lord, and my God, will he forgive you? You don't have to confess to nobody else. Your Lord is closer to you than your judgment day. Why don't you talk to it? Thank you for the question. I'm going to go to another person that I am. If Mama is on this phone, I'll allow you to talk now, Mama, because you come and sometimes you sneak up on me. So, Zakia, if you're there, you can cut in. Going once, going twice, three times. Okay. We have a brother here. He's a engineer in communication. And this brother has a very good, strong relationship with the FOI and with Minister Louis Farrakhan. And sometimes he runs this company, and sometimes he runs out just to come on the show. Kevin, if you're there.
Yes, sir.
You are there, alhamdulillah.
Yes, sir. Hey,
yes, sir, brother. And I've been talking to this man for 6 years, and I believe he and I are like we came out of the same womb. But if y'all ask me to tell you how tall he is or how short he is or what color is his complexion, I don't know that. I fell in love with his outfitcher, his being outfitcher, his nature, his heart. I fell in love with his spirit. And we talk like we've been together for all this time, and we do some hell of a negotiation, but I don't tell the other people that. So give me your two questions, Kevin.
Yes, sir. Now, I had just one question. You know, that time that my father transitioned, and I told you I seen him take his last breath, and you told me I was blessed, but I never asked you why you, I believe you said that you got a chance to see a lot of creation at its finest, but if you can expound on that a little bit more.
Well, that's an excellent question for me speaking about the dead. You put emphasis on the dead and put emphasis on the graves. You have brothers right now tell you that you're going to be questioning the grave. That's what they used to do 1,400 years ago. The prophet tried to get them away from the graves because it was idol gods. And he did. He got them away, but we returned back to the grave. You got brothers today who will tell you that you got to turn the body to the east. And in the Holy Quran, Allah says, nor the east nor the west is not righteousness. If you roll on the floor and you hurt, but you want to pray, I don't care what way you face, that's Allah. But we always pay attention to the Qibla, because the Qibla is where we get our education from, why that the black stone, it represents our heart. If you take your heart out your chest and put it in the sun, it would turn black, a black stone. The sensitivity of the man is the silver that's around that stone, but it's different from all those other material substances there. We throw it a kiss when we go there. Sometimes we can't kiss it personally, but if we could, we would kiss it. So what is it saying? Teach you, because when it came here, when it shot down, as man's intellectual mind went down, we lost our mind. So the Qibla shows us how to come back. So your father, the spirit, what you heard, you can't see it. You can't feel it. When he said, ooh, it was the spirit leaving him.
Yes.
Every human being makes that noise. Why? I heard it many times. It makes that noise. Ooh, let you know, there go the spirit. So now your daddy's not there. And that's why I was saying he was blessed to see the will of God. Every human being must go that way. I'll give you a story. The prophet was sitting with a with a human being, and the guy in all white came. So he looked at the guy that's sitting by the prophet. The guy looked at him. He turned his head. He did that three times. The fourth time, he wasn't there. And so he asked the prophet, "Oh, Rasuli, who was that?" He said, "That was the death angel." He said, "What do you want?" He said, "You." He said, "Good, I'm going to get out of here and go across the other side of the world." So when the angel came, he said, "Rasuli, where is your friend?" He said, "Oh, he went to the other side of the world, so say China." He went to China. He said, "Good, that's his resting place in China." So you can't escape Allah's will. You can't escape Allah's will. So you saw it, your daddy, who you wanted to be close to, and you are at the end of his life, man, you was getting real close to your daddy, and then you saw him leave, which is the hundred Allah revealed in him. So you can pray for him, regardless of what religion he's in. His soul, man, his